Well, more than 750 students have tested positive for the coronavirus at Northumbria University in Newcastle. Almost all of them showed no symptoms. It's the biggest outbreak so far at any university in the UK.
So our advice to government would be to move the teaching online now, as we've been saying all term.
Hello and welcome to this podcast produced by the Northern Region of the University and College Union. My name is John Bryan, and coming up in this episode, we're interviewing Adam Hansen. Adam is the branch chair of Northumbria University, and this week they smashed the 50% threshold needed by a trade union to take action. They got a whopping 67% turnout, with two-thirds of members voting for strike action and with 9 out of 10 members voting for action short of strike. Now, the matter of dispute between UCU and Northumbria University is on the issue of health and safety and whether or not the campus can be made COVID secure. But the key thing that we were looking at was the turnout and whether or not that turnout would go over the 50%, the 50% which unions now need in order to take lawful industrial action. And so in this podcast, we're looking at that issue, the issue of turnout, the Trade Union Act of 2016, as well as the broader issue about taking industrial action to try and make a campus COVID secure.
Well, the Act generally is a really regressive measure, which is designed to cut the legs from under trade unions. One of the main things is this requirement now to have a ballot turnout of at least 51%, otherwise any industrial action is ruled invalid.
Like you, like the Communications Workers Union, we believe that you should never allow draconian laws to prevent working people defending their pay and their pensions.
Now, some of you listening to this podcast may well remember the 1980s and the very anti-trade union legislation that was introduced by the Conservative government led by Margaret Thatcher. Well, in 2016, the Trade Union Act, this time another Conservative government but led by David Cameron, introduced legislation to put even more hurdles in front of trade unions, preventing them from taking lawful industrial action. From the 1st of March 2017, industrial action ballots must attract a 50% turnout for their results to be legally valid. For example, if 100 members of a trade union are eligible to vote and only 49 turn out for the vote, those members of the union cannot take industrial action even if all 49 vote in favour. Now, the Trade Union Bill 2015 was introduced to the House of Commons on the 15th of July 2015. The bill was announced during the Queen's speech, and it was described as legislation to reform trade unions and to protect essential public services against strikes. In the background briefing to the Queen's speech, the government described the main purposes of the bill as being to pursue our ambition to become the most prosperous major economy in the world by 2030 and to ensure hard-working people are not disrupted by little-supported strike action. It was very clear to all of the trade unions at the time that the bill was a draconian piece of legislation designed to prevent strike action. Regular listeners to this podcast will know of the issues of COVID-19, unsafe teaching on campus, and Northumbria University UCU declaring a dispute in September. That dispute was about the insistence of the university that face-to-face teaching was due to take place. The branch balloted for strike action, and we got that result this week. And we're talking to Adam about the ballot, about the action, and about what's going to happen next. Okay, we're joined on the podcast now with Adam Hansen, who is the branch chair of Northumbria University, who this week had a whopping 67% turnout in their ballot, with two-thirds of members voting to take strike action and almost 90% voting to take action short of strike. Welcome, Adam, and congratulations to you.
Thank you, John. Thank you. And thank you to everyone who participated and voted and helped get the vote out.
I mean, that's a real victory for yourselves. That's 50% is what's needed to overcome the threshold of the Trade Union Act, which, as we know, is about stopping unions from taking action. So you must have been delighted with what everything has happened.
Yeah, I mean, what we've said to members and we said to ourselves was that if we couldn't get over 50% on this, then what could we get over 50% on? We had a ballot to do the national pay ballot. We got about 49.5%, which was very, very close. We're talking like a handful of members short. And so we went all out for this, as the phrase goes. We put everything on the field and it paid off. I mean, you mentioned the trade union legislation. It's funny the number of emails I had from members who said, why can't I vote online? And so I think there's a job of education for us all to do about what voting in a ballot like this entails, practically what it entails. Because you're having to explain to people, sorry, the legislation won't let you vote online. This is where it has to be in person. This is where you have to sort out your address. Those practical, fundamental things are really, really important. And a lot of people don't know that.
There must have been a lot of groundwork done by yourself and other reps of the branch, getting that initial stuff done, making sure that the address was right. How long did that take? Was that a real slog?
It took certain members of the branch executive an awful long time, an awful lot of effort in a very short space of time. Because, of course, the ballot itself was only running for 2 weeks. Normally, ballots run for 3 weeks. And so the timescales that we're working to were very tight. We didn't do a consultative ballot, which we debated and ummed and ahed about. But again, the time really wasn't allowing it. So executive members worked long into the night doing the fine detail on looking at membership lists, sending out membership lists to reps, getting reps to check them. That is the kind of input end, which is absolutely critical. You've got to get that stuff right. Otherwise, for one obvious reason, otherwise you're trying to chase a majority of members who aren't there. You know, you need to work out who is and actually isn't eligible.
And I suppose the issue is around health and safety on campus. That issue was something which I'm assuming kind of really struck a chord with members, and that's why they turned out in their hundreds.
Yeah, and you know, in the meetings that we've had quite recently with senior management in the university, the phrase came up from a member of senior management: the university has moved on this, but the union hasn't. And I wouldn't counsel that as a great negotiating tactic in itself. You've always got to be flexible. You've always got to be open to opportunities and making compromises. But actually in this instance, in a sense, there was no compromise to be made. Things are either safe or they're not. It's not like you're debating whether you get an extra day's holiday or maybe half a day's holiday. And there's a middle ground to be found. Either people feel that they can come and work on campus safely, or they don't feel they can come and work on campus safely. And so as a result, it was quite binary in that sense. And I think that the clarity of that really mattered to members. And it's worth saying we're a member-led union, we're a member-led branch. We would never have done the things we've done as an executive and as a committee without speaking to the members and listening to the members and doing what the members wanted. And they were saying they needed this protection. So we had to find a way through the kind of democratic process and the political process to get them that protection.
Right, and you've massively grown in membership. I mean, you had 700-odd members a couple of years ago, and now you're well over 800 members. I mean, that kind of shows that you are a branch which is going somewhere and which is attracting people to the union. How have you managed to do that?
Well, I wish I had the easy answer to that. I mean, I may be branch chair, but I don't necessarily know all the ins and outs of that. But my feeling is, and from speaking to members, it's a couple of things. Firstly, it's about the kind of building on the work that people have already done. You know, it's always been a strong branch. It's always been a branch that tried to protect members. So in a sense, we're carrying on a tradition in that regard. But we've always also, and I think particularly recently, we've tried to just be a really open and inclusive branch and not silence any voices, because I think, you know, our members are sick of having their voices silenced in in their workplace, and they need to be heard. So it's very important to me and other members of the branch that everyone feels that their voice counts, because everyone's vote counts ultimately. We've worked really hard with reps, so lots of reps have gone through training. Lots of members of the committee and exec have undertaken things like the International Strike School, which was really, really useful just in terms of sharpening your toolbox, sharpening your skills for undertaking this kind of action. This is, everyone's worried about COVID and everyone's looking to be as safe as possible. And if your workplace doesn't feel safe, you're going to do something about it. And that's what our members were telling us. And they were coming to meetings in their hundreds and telling us that and communicating that with us. In amongst all that, I think one key thing as part of the campaign was with a personal testimony from members. And one of those back in September attracted an awful lot of media attention. So The Guardian got in touch, and Times Radio and all sorts of places got in touch when that started coming out. But as part of the campaign, we also just got back to people who'd been in touch with us and said, I need support with this because human resources are treating me this way, or my manager's treating me this way, I need help. And we gave help to those people. But then eventually it got to the point where we said, you know, could you write something up and say, how did you feel? What support did the union give? And those personal testimonies carried an awful lot of weight. The last thing I'd say is just, we realised how important member-to-member communication is, because an email from, even an email from Joe Grady carries a certain amount of weight, an email from the branch executive carries a certain amount of weight. But if you're getting an email from the person you share an office with, or if you would have, you know, gone for a coffee with, saying, this vote's really important, I think you should vote, I'm a member, please think about voting and let them know that you voted. That was huge, because it just opened up the conversation. It wasn't just like one line of communication coming down from on high. It was all of us participating in that conversation.
And I suppose in these COVID times where a lot of people are kind of atomized, a lot of people are working from home, you know, the fact that you've managed to cohere people together and you've got this mandate now is a real credit to yourselves as union reps in bringing people together in the collective. So you've got this mandate now. What's the next step for you and for the branch in taking this forward?
So we've held member meetings this week, emergency branch meetings, two of them, to talk to members about precisely that issue. And I just, before I say that, I just reflect, it's really interesting what you said. I've not thought about it in those terms of offering a kind of support mechanism for people, just in terms of keeping people in contact with each other. Maybe that's part of why so many people came to the meetings. But they're still coming to the meeting. So just this week, we must have had about 200 people across the two meetings. And members, I think, were of the opinion that since most teaching is going to be online for the last couple of weeks running up to Christmas anyway, lots of students have already gone home. There's no point activating action now. It's something that we'll need to keep under review for next semester. And not to be reactive to what the university does, but we need to have conversations with them about what they're going to deem essential teaching or essential face-to-face teaching, how they're going to react to changes in government guidance. And so at the moment, it's not quite a wait and see policy. It's more an anticipate action policy. But all the way through that, I think we're going to have to keep listening to the members. And as soon as members start feeling they're under pressure, or they've opted not to come onto campus and they feel that's been detrimental to them in terms of their career status, then we will have to start having some serious conversations with the university about, you know, this is happening, that if this carries on, we will be activating the ballot. And there's a lot of important things happening over the next, you know, 6 months. Ref submission goes in. There'll be lots of assessments. So there are going to be pressure points that will be in our minds, but also in the university's minds. And we're going to just try to use the mandate as strategically as possible.
That's great, Adam. That's really good to hear. And thanks very much for coming on the podcast and explaining what's going on. And once again, congratulations, because you're the first UCU union branch in the UK to win a ballot over health and safety relating to COVID. And what a massive mandate that is. So congratulations and the very best of luck to yourself and all the members in the branch at Northumbria University.
Thanks very much, John.
Thanks for listening to this podcast produced by the Northern Region of the University and College Union. Don't forget to like, favourite or subscribe to this podcast in whatever podcast provider you use. You can get our podcast on pretty much any podcast app, including Overcast, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Anchor, Spotify and many more. Tell your friends about this podcast as well, share it on social media, and also leave us a rating and a review. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can also find us on social media. We have Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and our Twitter account is at UCU Northern. If you want to send solidarity greetings or a message of support to the University and College Union Northumbria University branch, you can get them on Twitter at UCUNU branch. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Best wishes.